So if you have your Bible this morning, I'd like to ask you to turn to the 23rd Psalm, a very familiar passage of Scripture for a number of us, Psalms 23. I'm not going to start there, though. Again, I'll give you a couple verses if you just want to write them down, and you'll have them available there for you. As we go into the message here today, I'll give you a moment to get your hands free, Psalms 23, and then we can make our confession together. 23rd Psalm, and if you're still turning, it's okay, and we'll ask them to go ahead and put the confession on the screen. If you agree with it and you'd like to confess it with us, please join us. Those of you online as well, please join us, and we'll make our confession together. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I began a series on the man most often mentioned in the Bible. If you were here last week or if you saw the service, any of you remember who it was? David. That's right. He was actually listed by the concordance in the King James Version. I believe it was 1,085 times in the Bible. And so I wanted to just look at David for our sake to say, what can we learn about him and from him that will help us grow closer to the Lord and grow more like the Lord? That's the ultimate goal, is that we would come to know the Lord, grow closer to him, and grow more like him. So let me just read you one scripture, a couple of them from last week, just to kind of get the ball rolling in that direction. This was in 1 Samuel 13:14. It really, I believe, gives the description of why he has such a prominent place, or at least one reason. It says this in 1 Samuel 13:14. The prophet went to the first king of Israel, and because of his disobedience, he said, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart." That's the key. A man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. David had a heart for the Lord, because he knew the Lord's heart for him. That's always the case. We are not the initiators. God is the initiator. And then we respond to him by revelation of that truth. But David, he had a heart for the Lord because he knew the Lord's heart for him. And so here's the message this morning. Last week, the message was simply a prayer, "Lord, give me a heart for you." And we looked at four characteristics of a heart after God, a heart that follows after him. And they're on the website if you want. In fact, let me give you that. The website is clmfamily.org, clmfamily.org. If you go to that website, there's a link that says "From the Pastor," and you can see all the notes I used last week. And after the service, you can see them today from today's message. But I really believe this with all my heart. If there is one piece of advice I believe that I could give to anyone, it's the title of the message today. This is it. It's what David did, we know from Scripture, and I believe it's what we can do to grow closer to the Lord and more like him. We have to make time for the Lord. Make time for the Lord. With all my heart, I believe that. If there was one action, one encouragement I could give to all of us, is that we would make time for the Lord. And when I talk about make time for the Lord, let's make time for him in prayer. Make time for the Lord in prayer. And let me just say right up front, some of you, because of your schedules, you have responsibilities. We all have some degree of responsibility. Some of you are in seasons, you have greater flexibility. Over the years, I've started waking up earlier. Not by the alarm. I never set an alarm now, unless I really need to. But I did for a long time, for many years, and my body is just, I've kind of shifted toward my dad in that regard over the years, and I just wake up early. But of all weeks, don't you know, when I'm working on a message on make time for the Lord, I didn't oversleep, but it was just like constant, just whatever could just kind of take my mind and my attention and my schedule. So I can relate. But don't get down and please don't give up. We need to stay close to the Lord. And if we say, Lord, give me a heart for you, we've got to be consistent to follow it up to make a little time for him. Amen. Quality time. So we make time to pray, pour out our heart to him, unburden our heart, listen to his spirit, make time for worship, make time for, like David, he meditated on the scriptures he had at the time. He didn't have a full Bible. We do. And so we can meditate on that scripture, think on it, discuss it with other peoples, and make time like you're doing right now for fellowship. So I know you have at least a heart to do it. Now we just need to ask the Lord for wisdom to live it out. And so make time for the Lord. Would you say that with me? Make time for the Lord. And then would you turn to somebody with a big smile and just tell them, make time for the Lord. Making time for the Lord is an investment now and later. And you'll see how that comes into play here maybe just a little bit. Let me read you just a few more verses from 1 Samuel 16 if you want to write them down, and I'll join you in Psalms 23. 1 Samuel 16, again, verse 10, we read these words. Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel because God told Samuel the prophet to go and anoint the next king from this man's family. So Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest. There he is, keeping the sheep." So he was out there, the 8th son, watching over his dad's flock of sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." Verse 12. So he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes. He was good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." And then verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. So the Spirit of the Lord came on David when Samuel anointed him to be king. Now, he was anointed to be king at this time, but it was years later before he became king. So what did he do in the meantime? He may have learned a lesson from Joseph, and we read no account of where he went to his brothers, his older brothers, and said, "Hey, I'm a king now. Y'all will bow down to me." We don't read anything like that. And maybe he learned from Joseph's account in Genesis. But you know what he did? He went back to keeping his dad's sheep. And then one day, the Bible says this. Again, I'll put it on the screen. Verse 18, 1 Samuel 16, verse 18 says, one of the servants, because what happened was after the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, the Spirit of God went off of Saul to be king. I'm not saying he wasn't a believer at all, but it was different in the Old Testament. And he was no longer anointed to be king. And what happened, because when we open ourselves up, a spirit came upon Saul that distressed him. And someone suggested, "Why don't you get a skilled musician to play so that when that spirit comes on you, you'll be refreshed?" And this is what it says in verse 18. Then one of the servants answered, said, "Look, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war." Hold on just a minute. He's probably 15 years old. But somehow he had earned a reputation by being out there in the sheepfold with the sheep. So that wasn't wasted time. It was preparation time. And God brought a divine appointment in and said, "I've seen this young man." And his skill brought him before the king. So it says in verse, let me continue on, "A prudent in speech, handsome person," here's the key, "the Lord is with him." Verse 19, "Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, 'Send me your son David, who is with the sheep.'" So he would go, and sometimes he would be in the king's court. And then one last scripture before I join you in Psalm 23. Jeremiah 17, 15 says this, but David occasionally went, I'm sorry, 1 Samuel, did I tell you that? 17, 15? 1 Samuel, I'm sorry. It's 1 Samuel 17, 15. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. This morning, I want to just share a few ways of how when we spend that time, when we make time for the Lord, that he gives us his heart. The Bible says this in Psalms 23. David wrote about half of the Psalms recorded in the book of Psalms. He's called, I don't think I gave you this scripture last week, but 2 Samuel 23, 1, he's called the sweet psalmist of Israel. 2 Samuel 23, 1. This is one of David's psalms. Verse 1 of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Would you say that with me? The Lord is my shepherd. So he was David's shepherd. And because of that, I shall not want. In other words, I know where to have my needs met. I know who can provide honey from the rock. I know who can meet the needs when I can't. Verse 2 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. One translation says, he lets me rest in green meadows. Green pastures where there's rich food for the sheep to eat. And then the last part of that verse, he leads me beside the still waters. That's peaceful streams. Do you know why it could be dangerous for the sheep to be close to running water? If they were to get wet, y'all know what a chamois is, right? Man, if that thing can get soaked, the sheep, it could weigh them down and take them down under and down away. So they had to be careful. The shepherd had to lead them to peaceful streams. Aren't you glad he'll lead us to peaceful streams? Because really, ultimately, the scriptures aren't all about David. It's about David's shepherd, the Lord. And that's where we want to go this morning. Then, but see, if we will make time for him to settle down in the green pastures and the peaceful streams, this is what he'll do in verse 3. He restores my soul. He refreshes. That I love that because that's where we can find healing for our emotions, healing for our memories, healing for broken hearts. Sometimes healing in our bodies is as we just lay down beside the good shepherd and allow him to minister. We make time for him. And then he says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So as we make time for him, the Bible says we can receive his grace. We can receive his peace, not like the world gives. We can receive his peace and we can receive his renewing, his refreshing. And this is so important. It's in fellowship with the Lord that we gain his heart. It's in that time that we have with him that he influences our heart. Let me give you this scripture, and then if you want to just write down, I'm going to give you three ways that we grow in the likeness of our shepherd. But if you want to write this verse down first, it's Jeremiah 3:15. Let me read it to you. This is what the Lord says. I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. I'll give you shepherds according to my heart. So as we make time for the Lord, he'll influence our heart that we will not only grow closer to him, we'll grow more like him, and that's the key. So let me give you these real quick, how we can grow in the Lord's likeness and have his heart. First of all, in compassion. Compassion. And now David cared for his father's sheep, if you're familiar with it, or I'll share it, Lord willing, next couple weeks, how he fought off a lion and bear to protect his father's sheep. So he cared for the flock. He didn't just abandon them in their time of need. And what a picture of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 9, as there were crowds there, and Jesus, it says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary. Some translations say they were harassed and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. The Lord looked upon multitudes and individuals, and he didn't see them if they weren't believers as enemies. He saw them as lost. He had compassion toward them. So he says in verse 37, I want you to be like me. He said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Jesus was moved with compassion for people, and he reached out to them. I love reading some of the writings of Dr. Michael Brown. He's a Jewish man, and he played in a rock band. He was on drugs, LSD, all of that back in the early 70s. And he was up in New York, went to a little Pentecostal church, ended up getting saved, radically saved. And his testimony is from LSD to PhD. He's a professor and a theologian now. He's an expert in about five languages, Semitic languages. He studies, he writes, he speaks Hebrew. He does all this. But I remember seeing him years ago debate rabbis up in Brooklyn on if Jesus is the real Messiah or not. Just reading his writing from years ago. About 20 years ago, he really started reaching out toward the LGBTQ community. And I love his attitude that he has toward it. He said the Lord gave him this directive: reach out and resist. Reach out with compassion for the people. Resist the agenda with courage. Reach out to the people. Resist the agenda. I believe that's compassion. I love that. And I needed compassion. I still need it from the Lord. I haven't arrived. And before I give you these, just the next two, just real quick, I know there's been, just because I've seen it, emails and texts, so forth, about the opening ceremonies on the Olympics. I'll just say this much. On Friday night, I didn't see it. I really haven't watched any of it. And it's not that I'm against it. I've just been other activities, I guess. But I went out for a walk, which I don't typically do, almost dark. But someone texted me and asked about it. And I hadn't seen it, so I didn't know anything about it. But my initial thought was I wasn't so much angry as much as it grieved me. I was grieved about it because I don't want to see, if in fact that's what they even meant to do, the communion being degraded or mocked or anything like that. But yet, at the same time, I don't know if sorry is, maybe grieved is still the right word, for the people. I thought, even if they meant to do it, are they just that deceived and blinded? And that part gave me there's a song we sometimes sing, one line says, break my heart for what breaks yours. So again, we stand for what is right, but yet we realize, like Jesus from the cross, did the Roman soldiers they knew what they were doing. They practiced crucifixion. But I don't believe they understood the depth of it for Jesus to say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's where I believe the prayer is so important, that those spiritual blinders have to be removed. And there has to be a breakthrough to see Jesus for who he is. I was so happy that we celebrated communion last week because my dad was a carpenter, and one of the instruments he used called a plumb line. I don't know if any of you know what that is, like a heavier string has a weight on it, and you can hold it up and tell if a building is straight or not. We have a plumb line, brothers and sisters, the word of God. And I just want it to hold up the beauty and sacredness of communion and the Lord's Supper. I just wanted to hold up the plumb line of the love and the power and forgiveness and grace of the Son of God, who can transform us from darkness to light and from death to life. I want to lift him up and show his beauty, and then all the other won't measure up to the plumb line. Make time for the Lord. Would you say that with me? Make time for the Lord. Let me give you these two others real quick. I didn't think of this until later, but compassion, integrity, and ability, CIA. Compassion, integrity, and ability. Let me ask you to join me in Psalm 78. Would you turn there, please, if you're already in Psalms? Psalm 78. Again, looking at these verses about David and how they can be a picture of the Lord. So we spend time with the Lord. We invest that time with him. He begins to shape our heart with compassion. Boy, I know I need help. I believe we all do. We need the Lord to help us love people while at the same time hating sin. We can get that reversed and want to love, especially a sin we enjoy. So, but to love people, to hate sin, I believe we need the Lord's help with that, and that's why we've got to come to him. Psalm 78, beginning in verse 70, right toward the end of that psalm, we read these words. He, the Lord, also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes that had young, the Lord brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. See how the Lord is preparing him all those years? And then verse 72, so he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart. That's the, so to grow in compassion and then to grow in integrity. I believe integrity is just simply Christ-likeness. Integrity is a work of God's grace in our hearts that guides us in our decisions and actions. Here's integrity. We live by God's word, whether someone else is watching or not. My obedience to God's word shouldn't be whether you find out or not, or whether you see me or not. It ought to be because I've been redeemed and he's loved me and I want to please him and honor him. And when I do fall short, as I do, we all do, I want to make it right quick. I don't want my heart to harden. I want to stay close to the Lord. So compassion and integrity. And then the third one is also right there in that last verse. He shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. That word skillfulness means ability. So he had the ability, and I think about some of you. You have wisdom, years of experience. Some of you may be in a season of your life where you're not working regular hours on a job per se, but you have experience and wisdom to share. And I believe if we are faithful, just like David, wherever we are, whether we're in the king's court or whether we're out with sheep and nobody knows what we're doing, we're faithful to the Lord and he shares his heart with us. I believe God gives the increase in ability to help us do all that we do for his glory and honor. Some of you may stand at a machine all day long at work. You can be anointed to do your work. I want to show you from Scripture, because that same word that's translated here in the New King James of skillfulness, here's how it's most often translated. It's found in Exodus 31:3. Let me read that to you. Exodus 31:3, the Lord says, I have filled him, a man named Bezalel, with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, same Hebrew word, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. God anointed this man to work as a woodworker. He worked in metals. He worked in fabric and precious metals and the jewels that went into the tabernacle and ultimately the temple. He was anointed by God's Spirit to do that because that was God's call for him. I know sometimes people may look at what I'm doing and say, you're in the ministry. And I am, and I thank God. But I'm going to look at you. And if you tell me you're a follower of Jesus, I'm going to say you're in the ministry. How can I help you to fulfill your call? That's part of my calling, is to help you fulfill your calling. But I want you to know, wherever you are, in a bed, you might not be able to get out much. You have a calling on your life. If you are breathing, if you know the Lord, please use it to the glory of God. Have that time. Get his compassion, walk in integrity between you and the Lord, and use the gifts and talents and wisdom and prayers that God gives you and be a blessing to others. Be faithful right where you are. But it all comes from making time for the Lord. Then I'll close with this quick. I want to show you three ways Jesus is a shepherd to us. So if you turn to the New Testament book of John, and we'll close with these, John chapter 10. Just hold your spot there a moment. Because again, ultimately, this series is not about David. It's about David's shepherd. He's the ultimate shepherd. Next week, Lord willing, I'll share a message on David as a warrior. And then the following week, David as the king. But it all comes back to his heart for the Lord and what God did in his life as a shepherd. because that's all going to come into play as a warrior and a king. Sometimes you might feel like even on the job, I hear people, maybe you're overlooked, not appreciated. God appreciates you. And the Bible says if you are faithful doing what God called you to do, he's going to reward you one day, whether man does or not. First of all, John chapter 10, verse 11. If you've got it, would you say, I've got it? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Thank God, he's a good shepherd. He died in our place so that we could be in his flock. Because all we like sheep have gone astray, the Bible says in the prophet Isaiah, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every sin has been paid for by this good shepherd who gave his life for us. So if you're not in the fold or if you're not sure, let's make it clear, all right? Drop down to verse 26, please. Jesus is still speaking. And some people came to him, some men, and said, if you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. He said, I've told you, you don't believe. I've done the works, you just don't believe. Verse 26, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they do what? They follow me, and I give them eternal life. So I would just ask, between you and the Lord, is Jesus your shepherd? Are you following him? Because if you are, you have eternal life, and it's provided by your good shepherd for you. Just, you want to write these down, I'll just read them to you for sake of time. He's not only the good shepherd who gave his life for us. In Hebrews 13, he's called the great shepherd. I'll read you these verses, just two of them from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and I want to read them from the New Living Translation. If you want to write it down again, Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 20. It's like a benediction. It says, now may the God of peace, remember where Jesus leads us, beside the peaceful streams, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood. The eternal covenant is the new covenant in which we celebrate on communion. And where we could not make ourselves righteous before God, we have a great shepherd who makes us righteous by his blood. That's the blessing of the new covenant, is he did for us what we can't do. And that's not all. Verse 21, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. And may he produce where? In you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. Notice that he saves us, he cleanses us, but then he equips us and he works in us. The Bible says, work out your own salvation. Work out what God works in through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And then finally, in 1 Peter chapter 5, he's the chief shepherd. He's the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. I want to go ahead and read these four verses, and I'll give you one last scripture, and we're done. Make time for the Lord, please. Verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. We may partake of his suffering, but we'll also partake of his glory. I love this. This is an apostle, one of the closest associates of Jesus. And he said to all of you fellow elders, I'm with you. John would write similar words in Revelation. I'm your brother and companion in tribulation and the kingdom. Then he goes on and he speaks. This is how the New Testament usually words it. It speaks to the man as an elder. And then it gives the elders responsibilities, like here in 1 Peter 5, verse 2, shepherd the flock. That means to pastor is the same word. Pastor the flock, shepherd the flock of God. Notice whose flock it is, right? The flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. That same word translated bishop. So the elder is responsible to pastor and bishop, or to lead and feed the flock of God, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, not just doing it for money, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. May the Lord help me to feed you with God's word and to lead by example. Never try to just lord it over you. Then he goes on in verse 4 and he says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And he's not just going to reward elders. He's going to reward all of his faithful followers with eternal blessings. So he's the good shepherd who gave his life for us. He's the great shepherd who lives his life through us. And he's the chief shepherd who's coming back to get us. Thank you, Jesus. Make time for the Lord. Get to know him. Stay close to your shepherd. It's too dangerous to wander away from him. There's a wolf out there sometime in sheep's clothing wanting to pick you off and me off. So we got to stay close, brothers and sisters. Stay close to him. One last scripture, if you want to write it down, 1 Samuel 36. Because when David was greatly distressed, he knew what to do. The Bible says this. Now, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. That'll distress you. We'll kill you. Because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and daughters, the families had been kidnapped. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. How did David find strength? In the Lord. Don't you know he made some time for the Lord right then? And he found the strength he needed and the wisdom to guide him safely and to restore every man's family. God brought it all back abundantly. And so for us too, I want to ask you just to think about this as we close. Will you make time to stay close to your shepherd? And you've got to think about your own schedule. And look, if you say, Brother Rocky, that's me, I'm going to give the Lord a few extra minutes in the morning, wake up early, and you oversleep or whatever. I don't want you to do that. But don't give up. Don't quit. Some of you, maybe you're more night persons. That's not me. But you got to figure out what works for you. I just want to encourage you, make time for the Lord and seek him, seek his heart. Let his heart influence your heart and then go be a witness for him. Can we stand together? We just have one closing song here as a prayer today. I'd like to pray for you, though. Let's just ask right now. Sometimes we just allow the schedule to dictate us. Our heart is there. But if any of you would just like to say, Brother Rocky, everybody's looking, heads are up, but I want you to pray for me. I want to make that, maybe I need to make a fresh commitment just to get back into close fellowship with the Lord. I need his compassion, his integrity. I need his anointing and ability to do what he wants me to do. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand right there where you are? Would you hold them up just a moment? I just want to acknowledge you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm there with you. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters right now. Lord, I thank you for your work of grace in our hearts. Lord, now we ask you for wisdom to help us live it out. And I want to come against the accuser who would want to discourage your people when we feel like we fall short. I pray that you would shut his mouth as we look to you, that we're just going to stay close to you. We want your voice to be the greatest voice that rules in our lives. So I pray that you would help us to live it out. Reveal yourself to us. Even maybe, Lord, I want to just say not maybe, reveal how we should live it out. Maybe steps we need to make, decisions, plans, people. You're the God of the details. Help us to follow you as you lead us by your Spirit. I'm excited about what you're going to do. It's all good comes from staying close to you. Work it in us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.